God is creating in us a new heart. One that, Isaiah says, is no longer going to look back and remember any of those things. But one that looks forward to God and trusts in God. He's doing something. He's creating something new in us that doesn't rely on self as much, doesn't concern itself with XYZ is perfect, that I have enough gas in the moment, or the $250 when I want to see it. But that I can trust God in no matter what situation. That God, like you said, loves me. And I am loved. I am loved.
Welcome to the St. John Alive podcast. I'm your host, Alan Day, and we're excited to be continuing our Lenten series on finding inner peace today with the ever graceful crew of young ladies here from our Bible study. We have Denise Tadros, Phyllis Forrester, and Tammy Junkert again joining us in the studio today. And as we dive in, ladies, we're kind of talking today about the what ifs in life and the worries that of our future that steal the peace in our presence. So I wanted to kind of start with a verse from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 that says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day." And this one always stings a little bit whenever I hear it or read it, because I'm a worrier. I'm a chronic worrier. And
warrior.
And he's a warrior of worries.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard. It's tough to not worry about tomorrow. And I spend a lot of time actually trying to calm down about tomorrow. But you know, because I'm not tooting my own horn here. This is just a fact. I'm an Eagle Scout, right? And so it was ingrained in me as a child to be prepared, right?
Yes.
And sometimes, oftentimes, I mistake being prepared for being anxious, right? Because we think that that being anxious is somehow preparing for tomorrow. But that's not actually what it means to be prepared and let go of some of those worries and the what-ifs. So as we're talking about this future and worry about the future, what are some of your most common what-if scenarios, and how do they steal your peace?
My most common ones are worrying about my kids when they come home, or if they're going somewhere. You know, I always put holy water on them, and we say the guardian angel prayer every time I see them and every time they leave, because I worry. I worry about them all the time. And I have to just know that, you know, God is with them, and, you know, it is what it is. I would love to wrap them up in bubble wrap and keep them at home, but I know that that's not true. So that's my biggest worry about my family, their health, their safe travels. That's what I worry the most. I don't worry about myself too much. I worry mostly about my loved ones.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That is cool. Your kids are probably going to do that with their kids.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
What, they bubble wrap them?
They wait for it. They know it's coming. You know, they get in their car, and I'm like, wait a minute, come on back out. Yeah. And we all stand like in a huddle and say the prayer and everything. And then I put a big cross on the hood with my hands, and then they're off. So
that's awesome.
My big thing is I'm getting to that age where I'm going to be looking at the next adventure in my life. Mm-hmm. I've been working ever since I was 16 years old. In my current company, I've been there almost 23 years. And it's definitely my why. Why? And my love language is service. And I'm able to service my employer. I'm able to service the clients that we have. And I'm really trying with my plans is to make sure that I am substituting something else with that. I don't want to be what am I going to do? Watch TV all day. I want to have something that I'm going to be passionate about. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the thing that I look at, and what if I can't find that? I've been working on it, and I think I'm going to be fine and find lots of stuff to do about it.
I think with both of those, I was thinking earlier about what ifs I think happen because of our experience in the past. And you think about a child generally is not anxious because they don't have a lot of experience and they trust in God, or their parents. And so through experience, and we've learned things that can harm us, we get anxious because of our past. And I was thinking about experience actually helps us get through our what-ifs better. Right? So if we trust in God. So Christian, not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, had cancer. And they thought it might take his life. And it was from the top of his, just by his eye, all the way down to the back of his neck. It was into his skin. They had to take it out. And it was going to not only leave a huge scar, but they didn't think it was going to be able to be gone. And we are not retired yet, and you know, we're just not ready for that yet. No, I don't want to be. Anyway, so when we went in, and I went in to see him after, and it was just horrible. I mean he hasn't woken up yet. And but the thing is the doctor came out before I went to see him, and he said, "We got it all. Got all the cancer, and he's not going to look good to you." He said, he was very serious. He's like, but we got it all. And you know what? I didn't even care. I didn't even care because he was alive and he was going to be okay. And that scar today, you can't hardly even see. It's a miracle that it's gone. He didn't get plastic surgery. But I guess what I'm saying is, in that trial, I learned how I can trust that God is going to get us through it. And even if Christian did die, he would have still gotten me through it. And I'd look about all things in my past, with our kids, with our work, with our physical, I wanted to do this in my past, in my future. God has gotten through us everything that we worried about, and it's been okay.
Yeah.
And he got me through that trial, and now I, you know, it seems like now you can go forward, well, that's not a big deal. Like you said about myself, what ifs are kind of going away. The more that we go through, and we know we can lean on God because I'm a child of God, and he's with me.
I also think that worrying people, even kids who don't have a lot of experience, there are kids that are very anxious. You know, I have one son who threw up every day when it was the time math test in first grade. So there are anxieties for kids when they're younger.
Sure,
but I think for the younger kids without the experiences, Tammy, I think it's because they're afraid to fail. They're afraid to disappoint.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're afraid that they won't look equal to their friends, possibly. But then, you know, it's hard to really get the idea that, you know, this is your journey. It doesn't matter what other people think about you, and your family will always love you.
Yeah.
But I think for some people, it's the external that makes them anxious, and they have to find tools to cope with that kind of anxiety of, you know, for me, you know, with all of our experiences, we've all had tough times. And for a while, I mean, I have a blessed life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my husband. I have a blessed life. But for a long time, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop because this is too good.
Yeah.
You know, my life is
too
good right now. You know, I have a great relationship with God.
Something's going to happen.
I have a great relationship with my family. Yeah. What's going to happen? Yeah. Waiting for that other shoe to drop. So I guess the first question you asked of the podcast, I guess that's the one thing that I worry about for myself, is for waiting for that other shoe to drop. But, you know, God talked to me in a dream while I was preparing for this podcast.
Oh.
And it was really, really cool because I was thinking about when you say, oh, God is in control. God is in control, you know, and people say it, and but really, God is not in control until you believe that he's in control, and you trust that he's in control, and you have faith that God is actively working in your life every day.
Yeah,
because even Satan believes in God.
Yeah, right.
So if you believe in God more than just, okay, he exists, and you trust that he's actively working in your life, then maybe you can let go of it. But that's a big thing to let go of.
Yeah, and you can't do that just on the top of a hat. You can't just go, well, it comes from learning how to trust.
Right.
That it's not, you know, it's a process.
Yes, it's
hard. You know,
you can't
just say, tomorrow I'm going to wake up, I'm going to trust in God and everything, and we will fail.
Right.
Look, it says, you know, Jesus was not accepted in his hometown. Today in that reading it says, but then he went back to Galilee. He left Samaria and he went back to his hometown. Why? You're like, wait, he didn't accept him. But now he's going back because it says, because they had just gone to Jerusalem and they saw all that he did and now they believed. And now Jesus is going to go back because now he can work in them. Mm-hmm. And so they've had that experience, that being able to trust, yeah, God is real in my life. So it's not like he expects us to have it all, but it is a process.
Oh, I still have, you know, I believe that God works in my life every day, but I still have
me
a hard time giving up control or letting it go. I don't think anybody can really do it except maybe saints, you know, that have just given everything up and, you know, but that I think that that was the thing that really made the biggest impact of this week's discussion, is just trusting and having faith that he is interacting all day in your life. You just have to have faith. It's something you can't see.
Yeah.
It's something you can't feel. Yeah. But you have to have faith that he's there.
You have to also know that all those thoughts that come into your head throughout the day and all of those God winks, it's God. And you have to listen.
I think we should also talk a little bit about the difference between concern and worry. Because we're not saying you shouldn't be concerned. God gives us that innate ability to flee from bad things or be concerned if something's bad, tell your kids, don't go across the road before you look both sides, what all these things. But when I looked up the definition of worry, it gave me this picture of a squirrel. It says, I never thought of this, but it says it's got this nut and it's tearing and persistently biting it until it gets it open and it won't let it go. And the squirrel is worrying over the nut. Or it also gave this thing about a hangnail, and you just persistently keep pushing on it. And you shouldn't do it, but you'd keep, like, bugging it. That's worry. It's that persistent lie of self-preservation that you have to do something without God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a difference between the healthy concern.
Right.
Right, absolutely.
Right. You know, there's the anticipatory anxiety where you worry about flying on a trip, or you worry about a job interview, or you worry about a confrontation that you know is going to happen that day from somebody because of something that happened before, you know. And I think, like you said, it's okay to be prepared. I mean, for me, if I know I'm going to confront something, I think my anxiety is, okay, well, if this person says this, then maybe I should say this, or maybe if it goes this way, I should do that, or if this doesn't work or fit, then maybe I should do this, and thinking of alternative ways to do things. So, yeah, giving everything to God I don't think is realistic, but I think to be thinking and anxious about something, I think to a certain extent is healthy and is a mature way to look at problems that you know are coming.
My husband is an engineer, and he's like, you know, we have to do stuff. What do you mean, just give everything up to God, whatever? You know, like, we got to figure this out, whatever. Yeah. And I guess that goes with Paul's faith without works is dead. We have to trust God, but at the same time, we have to also do stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? We have to prepare. You don't just show up at a speech and go, God's going to give me everything I'm supposed to say. That's what it says. Scripture says, no, right. You come prepared.
Right.
So that you're, you know, yeah.
You both said something that I had written down when you're talking about prepare. I wrote down, worrying will not make painful things from happening.
Right.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
The more you're prepared.
Yeah.
It doesn't add one thing to your life.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And then you'll deal with it when it
happens. You'll be prepared.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the anxiety and the concern versus worry and how that plays into our journey of faith, for me, has a lot to do with just mindset. you know, and understanding that we can prepare to a certain degree to be reasonably, you know, to be responsible and reasonable. I have children. I have to take care of them. I can't just close my eyes and say, let's just step out into the road and see what happens. Right. You know, we do have to have that healthy level of respect for reality.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of me, for me, a lot of being prepared has to do with just being prepared in the sense that, like, I have to prepare my heart for what's about to happen, right. not necessarily, well, the head has to be prepared on a practical level, but the heart has to be prepared for, to kind of roll with the punches, you know, because, you know, a prime example, last couple of weeks, my wife and I had a ton of spring cleaning lined up. We knew what day it was going to happen, and it was going to relieve a lot of stress and pressure around the house. And, you know, life came up and all of that got thrown out the window without any hesitation, you know, and it wasn't necessarily like our brain struggled with that fact because we went from one gear to another, but our hearts were prepared for worst case scenario, you know? And so a lot of that anxiety about what was going on, we realized that you just have to put it in, you know, perspective, you know, realize that those things are temporal, that those things are related to the world and you have to be ready for what the Lord is trying to do in your life. And it may not be cleaning out from under the fridge.
You know? Right, right.
Well, the Lord wanted you to do something else.
Right.
And you did it.
And it was very important.
And the cleaning products, the cleaning products were just fine sitting in the cupboard.
They were.
Until
in
you
fact,
were ready.
That's where I prefer them. So it was fine with me. I didn't have to use them.
That's right.
Instead, we used them down here. It still smells like cleaning products down here. No, I think that's a really good distinction, Tammy, to be able to decipher between concern and worry. You know, I'm trying to think of like specific examples of my life where, you know, the Lord really acted. And unfortunately, I'm striking out on every front because most of them are just like blatant stupidity on my part. And the Lord just kind of picked up the slack for me. But I can recall this one situation where, and I'm not saying we should test God, but when my family was moving here, there was a lot of concern over, or maybe worry. Now I have to think about my definitions. I don't know. I think there was a little bit of both concern and worry about, you know, what we would find when we came here. Cause there was a lot of unknown, you know, we didn't have a home, you know, we were planning on finding an apartment when we got here and we ended up on a waiting list. There was just a lot of things that we didn't know about, you know, and we had left a very supportive community, a very good, you know, tight knit community. And we were concerned that we wouldn't find that here, you know, which we have. So the Lord blessed us in that way. But, you know, we literally packed up our life and our two children and, you know, ditched our tiny house that we had just finished building and we moved across the country for a new adventure, you know, but the thing was, is the reason that we were able to do it with such peace was because the Lord had started opening doors along the way. And so, the difficulties arose, but we knew that we were headed in the right direction and we didn't have to have anxiety, you know, and there was this moment we were driving across the country with literally all of our possessions on a trailer behind our minivan. I had my wife and two children in the car, so literally everything that I valued in life was in one spot, which is terrifying. And we're in the middle of Nebraska, so we're surrounded by cornfields. And I realized that I was supposed to get off of the highway at the last gas station because we were almost out of gas. And I looked down and I realized, like, the needle is resting against the bottom of the gauge. And I was
no. That's a terrible feeling.
And I zoned out because we had been driving for 2 days. And I started to panic. You know, I was like, oh, no, we're in the middle of nowhere. And I just see, like, chainsaw murderers coming out of cornfields and, like, all of my family is there. And I'm like, and it was evening was approaching. So I'm like, I'm literally going to have to leave my wife and children in the car in the dark in the middle of a cornfield in Nebraska and walk for like a day.
Sounds like a bad movie.
I did. Yeah. This Stephen is what was King playing through my head. It was terrible. Yeah. And I was just so panicked and I was literally starting to freak out. And Genevieve goes, just there's an exit up here. I don't think there's anything off of it, but just get off the highway. And that way we can at least park safely. And I'm going up the off ramp because it's at an incline and the car starts to chug because it's sucking fumes, literally. And we get to the top of the bridge and there was an abandoned gas station. And I was like, dang it, we were so close. Yeah. And so we cruise across the highway over the bridge and there happens to be, it's probably still there to this day, but I think it was a miracle. A singular gas pump in the middle of a dirt lot with a mobile home next to it.
Incredible.
And the first thing my wife does is reach across the car and smack me and goes, and you were worried God didn't take care of us. Aww, I was like, you're right. I was a little panicked, but it was a clear moment that he literally had every step of the way covered, even in the moments of my zoned out stupidity, not watching the fuel gauge, you know? And it doesn't always play out like that in life, you know, like there's not always a singular gas pump in a dirt lot. You know, sometimes you do run out of gas. Sometimes, you know, you end up having to walk for a couple of days with, you know, to get a gallon of gas back in your car, so to speak. But I think for me, that's it. It's not about necessarily having it all together or knowing that you have a plan for every single possible outcome, but just being prepared to roll with the punches and knowing that the Lord is still with you regardless of what happens.
Yeah. And knowing that you two were together and like-minded in your goals helps, gives you strength. You support each other.
Oh, yeah. That's
huge.
Key. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And look at the story you have. What a testament to, you know?
I think God does that too, just for a great, he gave you a great story to share, like you shared right now.
And fortunately, most of my most entertaining life stories are based on my stupidity. That's how they all start. One day, Alan forgot. So
I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 10:13 comes to mind when you said that, you know, the Lord will never give us more than we can handle, but he'll give us a way to stand up underneath it when it happens.
Exactly.
And it's not just the temptations, but situations maybe tempting us to lose our joy or not trust in him and do go to that point of worrying over concern more than concern. But that he'll give us a way, and he won't push us too far, but he's going to push us a little where we need to be pushed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's going to allow us to go through challenges so that we don't worry, but we are concerned, you know.
Right.
And that, you know, you look back and go, he took care of me.
Right. And that story for me, I would have been able to look back and be a lot more proud of that situation if I hadn't lost joy in that moment, you know, because that's kind of what we're getting at is in that moment. That's why I started to panic so much, because it wasn't like I didn't have a contingency plan, you know, and so it stole my joy. And instead, I should have just sat back and said, it doesn't matter whether you're walking or you're driving or whatever, the Lord has you and he's with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking back, that's what I wish I had been able to maintain. So you're 100% right. It's about, you know, being able to know that the Lord is still with you regardless of what happens.
Yeah, it's a journey we have to learn. Yeah. We're not all coming out perfect.
Right.
I don't know. I think part of it is that we have to learn.
Yeah.
Right. But what happened to you, Alan, wasn't a deliberate thing to say, oh, I'm going to let it go and see what God does for me. Like we had mentioned before, not like we test God.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like you did it on purpose or anything that you're like, you were tired. You drove for 2 days. And, you know, I'm sure it's not visually stimulating for you to drive in cornfields for hundreds of miles. So, but you know what the thing is it wasn't because you had a lack of preparation. It's just things happen in life. And when things happen in life, God is always there. Mm-hmm. There was a family that I was working with about a year ago at the outreach who was at risk of getting evicted. And they were fundraising with resources, and they were about $250 shy. And we were all kind of like reaching out to different people. And then one of the parishioners comes to our window and said, and it was during, I think, Advent. And he said, you know, for Advent, my wife and I were talking, and you know what? We decided, is there somebody who could use $250?
Wow.
And I said, exactly. Yes, absolutely there is. So it's those kind of things that just happen. That
He provides.
They were working. They were working hard to fundraise to get themselves over this. You know, they had, you know, hospital, they had things came up unexpected, which threw them off. They were normally responsible people, but they were fundraising and they were working hard at it, and it was getting close to the deadline. And I think God just said, okay, let's pop them over and get it done.
That's that's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
God put that thought.
Exactly.
And he acted on it.
And it's like what you were saying, Phyllis, it was a God wink for me.
Yeah.
And it's those God winks that say, okay, I'm at the right place because, I see those God winks, and it makes me want to come back in.
Go ahead.
That's such a blessing to be that person that can do that, that you know that God is keyed into something. You are going to be a vessel for him. So that's cool. That's good that he did that.
It's good that parishioner and his wife
The other thing
decided on doing that.
The other thing that I like about your story is I'm sure that you don't let your car go below a quarter tank ever.
You would think. You would think.
That's kind of when you lock the keys in the car, too. You always double check your keys.
Yeah. But fortunately, we don't live far from here, and we don't live far from Jen's work, so there's not a whole lot of danger if I run out of gas, which is the problem. then my mind's not committed. I'm not in a cornfield in the middle of nowhere.
So. I was just going to say, I don't think there's, I don't know what you guys think, but I don't think it's faith or trust if you always have everything perfect and you can see everything, right. Or if you never have a trouble, mm-hmm. right? So we got to get to the point where you're almost out of gas and there's nothing left, and then boom, then you get more faith. That is faith.
Mm-hmm.
That is trust. Or you don't have the $250 and you're praying for it and you're trusting God and he shows up, and that is trust.
Mm-hmm.
That is faith. Mm-hmm. When you cease, what is the definition of faith? That you, the things that we don't see, how is that? Right. How does Paul say that?
I don't recall.
I can't quote it.
Yeah, you know,
it's things you can't. You're our person. That's
You're so much
better.
That's
why you're sitting on the podcast.
That's right.
Oh, sorry.
That's why when I, that's when I thought you weren't going to be here today, I thought, gosh, come on now. She carries this thing. She knows all the. She knows all
She's
the scripture.
Our gal.
She can rattle it out. But you know, it's things that you can't see, things that you can't touch. But I think faith is things that you can feel.
Yeah.
If you really do put yourself out there, it's things that you can feel. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I would always tell the kids when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'd say, okay, you did that special thing, and they're looking proud, and I'd say, do you have a warm feeling in your heart? And they're like, well, that's because the Holy Spirit touched you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a feeling. You know, you're doing God's work, and you get that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Assurance.
Right.
That even if it's not okay, there will be gas somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
$250.
Speaking of feelings, why do you think it is that we feel like worrying is the solution in these situations? Like, what is it about our humanity that brings us to that place? And how does living in the present, or how would living in the present combat that? You know, how does that work for you guys in your spiritual journey and your relationship with the Lord and being present? How does that factor in for you?
I think where you're going with that, Alan, is how do I deal with worries and anxiety and have God in your life? I think for me, prayer, morning prayer. I love my morning prayer. I say a rosary just about every day, and I throw, a decade for each worry or a decade for each thing, and just kind of focus on that. But again, like I was talking about before, about the anticipatory anxiety, a lot of times I'll just, think about what would I do if this happens or that happens. But a lot of times, like before I do something, just before you speak in front of people or before you go into a situation that's going to be difficult, I always just stop and say, Holy Spirit, be with me. Blessed Mary, hold my hand. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just say that just before I walk into it. And it's just, sometimes it just gives me the strength to just take a deep breath and put my shoulders back and walk into whatever I'm dealing with. So I invoke the Lord. I invoke Mary when I really have to. I don't say a prayer. I'll just say, Blessed Mary, hold my hand. Just like you've always been at the base of Jesus's cross, be at mine.
I probably more or less wing it. Things are going on during the day, just kind of going along with it. And if it works to who I want to be, then I'll get on board. And if it doesn't, I'll just be kind and say, wow, that's really interesting. And
I'm going to ask an off-script question because I'm genuinely pondering this right now. Because you mentioned Mary and sitting at the foot of the cross, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, what? How much worry do you think Mary did, and how much concern do you think that she actually held in reality? Because obviously she was without vice. So where's that line? What did that look like for her? And we know from scripture that she did ponder these things in her heart. And is that is that a fancy way of saying like there was some healthy level of understanding of what was about to happen? And how does that balance out? And how are we called to imitate what Mary did in light of one of the worst things that humanity could offer,
right.
A crucifixion.
Well, I would say, she said, "Son, why have you done this to us? We've been looking for you for 3 days."
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a little bit of worry there. Maybe, I don't know, was it concern? But she had to go back. She had to look the whole time she's thinking about it. And while I don't think, I know she didn't sin, but she had to grow in that, also in that understanding of what God is and what he's doing and be there along with him. So I wouldn't call that a sin, but I would call that a growth.
Sure.
And in her very life, she's showing us, you know, we're children. We have to learn this kind of thing.
She knew a lot, though, of like the wedding at Canaan when they ran out of wine.
Yeah.
And she said, just let him take care of it. So yep. She was able to tell people it's going to be okay.
Listen to my son.
Listen to my son. Yeah. He's got this.
I've been with him for 30 some yeah. years. I got this. I understand. Yeah. I'm starting to get it.
Yeah. yeah. Going back to worrying will not make painful things from happening. That she knew of the crucifixion that it was painful. It was painful. But there was something that was going to be coming out of it because he's.
Well, just like I put the cross on the hood before my kids pull out of the driveway or sprinkle them with holy water. Just like with Mary, you know what Mary was? Even though she was without vice, she's a mom.
Yeah, she's still a mom.
You're still a mom.
Yeah. You are right. So cool.
Yeah, the kids don't feel that cool when we're out in the driveway.
I also was thinking about, you know, Mary, I'm sure, knew this, and both of you said it. You were saying, you used the word be. I'm just going to be whatever I'm supposed to be, you said earlier. And you were like, we're just going to, you know, trust that God. Well, when Moses was on the mountain and he asked the Lord, what is your name? And he says, I am. We're the children of I am. And so we're supposed to be being before our doing. So that's supposed to come first in our mind. We are a child of the I am. So we are supposed to be a person of being before we're doing. Our being should flow through into our doing. And so if we're children of God, we know that he's with us. And if we are in his will, what do we have to worry?
Do you just inspired something that I'm was thinking good. About.
So it's probably the bigger point.
So do you think a lot of things that we worry about are because we are afraid of the outcome and how it'll look to somebody else?
Sure, probably, instead of the glory of God.
Okay.
It may be that we're supposed to look a little low at that point. So that God, you know, when our weak, Paul says, when I'm weak, he's strong. Perhaps in that very thing, God is being lifted up. And what does it matter?
Okay.
I mean, in our weakness, it matters to us, but.
Okay. So our inside, and we want to bring the light in and have the love inside. So whatever he's telling us, it's going to be okay. Because we don't have to worry about the external yuck of stuff.
Exactly.
Or the material things or how what we're thinking about or doing is going to.
I was thinking when you said that about Joan of Arc, okay, you know, when she was brought in and put in chains or whatever, and then so much pressure, you're going to burn at the stake, you're going to do this, sign here. Okay, I'm going to sign. So she was worried about the future. But then she reneged. She came back and said no. She had to, like you said, pray about it more, get it more settled in her mind. And then she faced her martyrdom with strength and courage. Mm-hmm. But it took a little bit of, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't come all at once at first, but right. Yeah.
I think sometimes too, like running out of gas or something happening like that where you don't plan on it.
Yeah, you don't.
You're just distracted and what have you. I think sometimes God makes that happen for you and distracts you because maybe at that point in time you needed refocusing. Maybe you needed a little humility. Maybe
right.
You needed,
yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
I mean, so you could be. Personally, I'm not, but you could be totally faithful and living a absolute perfect Christian life.
Right.
But I think that even anybody needs some humility.
Growth.
And some faith.
Yeah.
And some reasons to prove to yourself that God is in your life.
Yep. Yep. Oh, you think you've arrived?
Right. Exactly. Not yet. Got one more hiccup.
And I think that's absolutely what we're getting at, is this is a constant balance between humility and pride.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times when we have those instances of self-preservation, a lot of it is rooted in pride. It is
absolutely.
For me.
Right? And lack of trust.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. You know, it's like I frequently find myself saying to the Lord, like, why would you put me in this position? Like, this is really uncomfortable. What if I make myself look stupid? And then he's always like, that's what I'm asking you to do, is look stupid.
Yeah.
But for my greater glory. And
right.
It's really hard.
Right.
Like hosting a podcast, I'm not going to lie, this was actually a really huge jump for me, because I don't like being the center of attention at all, you know?
You're not in the middle.
And I know. No. That's why I put myself on the
edge. Thanks a lot.
Right?
Thanks a lot.
You know, and so it was a huge act of trust to say, you know, what if I do make myself look stupid? Because that's what a lot of content creators that I follow, in terms of the how-to on the lights and stuff, they are all like, you know, if you say something stupid on the internet, it's there forever. And I purposefully put myself in that position just in case, you know, the Lord wanted to use something that's said. And it's hard, because it is. It's a balance between pride and humility at all times. And the moment you think you've acquired humility, you've lost it. So,
well, thank you for doing it, because this is so much fun.
Yeah.
I get
yeah.
to spend time with these ladies that I just love.
Yeah.
And
we love you too, Phyllis.
Yeah.
Thanks.
This is a blast.
You know what, though? To anybody who's listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, the four of us here are not perfect. We're not perfect Christians. We're not holier than thou. We are dealing with this daily, on trusting God and having God in our life every day. Mm-hmm. I am no better than anybody else that I pass at the grocery store. But I'm trying and making an effort at making the Lord proud of me mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. But we are not perfect here. It's always something that we work on, and it's a constant effort.
It made me think about, you said something about God may embarrass you or let you be embarrassed.
Right.
I mean, when you think that you got it all control. Last week, you know, I told you what I was working on was letting God work in me in the interruptions and just mm-hmm. be happy with it if he wants me to do this or that.
That great bike ride story.
Yeah. So,
I love that story.
And I'm in my master's and I'm in the last portion and I really need my computer. And so I've got like this 20-page paper that's saved on the computer but not on a stick. And the computer, froze at 7:47 in the morning and it wouldn't do anything. Control-Alt-Delete didn't work. Nothing worked. You know, I took it in and they were like, oh, man, sorry. You know, like, oh, great. You know, it's only like a week before the due date.
Oh,
you know,
my
like,
gosh.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay. God's got this, whatever. Okay, they're like, just leave it with us. We'll see what we can do. You know, so, you know, you go home and you pray about it, and then you just, okay, whatever. And then I got the computer back, and it was all fixed. It was good. They saved everything. But my computer plug didn't come back with it, and it's had to be all the way down in Brighton.
Oh, boy.
You know, and I didn't have time to go back, and I had to, and it's all, like the battery's almost dead, and I'm like, what? So you make a call, and you know you get like this, the Best Buy geek guys, you don't get to talk to anybody anymore. And so, you know, I don't know if it was okay if I said that, but the computer guy, sorry.
Shame on you, Best Buy.
Anyway, so I get on the phone, and like I get like this, you know, push whatever, what do you want? Say what do you want? And whatever. I want to talk to somebody, you know, and then like you get disconnected, you have to call back, and it happened four times. And then finally I'm like, I just want to talk to somebody. They got my cord, and I can't, and I don't want to drive down to Brighton.
Well, I could have drove down to Brayton and back by this time. Anyway, so
you're still stuck in the automated phone system loop.
And so I'm like getting nasty with the, I already went to confession. So I'm like, anyway, but I'm like getting, you know, finally get to this person. I'm like, I just want to talk to somebody. They got my card. Like she's, so she sends me to this another number and she's like, no, it really is them. It's them in the Brayton. I get it. And it's not them. It's another loop. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Hang up the phone and I'm all like, okay, where's my joy? Like I'm talking about this podcast. And I went, I'm going to go one more time in my bag. And I looked over that bag. You don't know how many times I went in that bag and there it was. It was in there. And the Lord is letting me see, this is how you are. This is how you are. You are not in control. I am. And you lost it. And now you have to go to confession. And, you know, it's just like he brings it in your face mm-hmm. when you think you've arrived mm-hmm. and you haven't and you lost your cool and you're supposed to be a witness for Christ. And that other person just thinks that you've, oh, thank God you didn't say you're Catholic. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just right there.
Yeah.
You know, so it maybe it's good that we go through times that we shouldn't worry, but we do.
Right.
So that it shows.
But did
us.
You buy a stick drive to?
Yeah, oh yeah, everything.
Okay, well that's what God was doing. He was saying, "Hey, you're a week out. They're not very expensive. Get yourself one."
You know, like yeah, you know, no. So we're not perfect, are we?
No.
You never know, though. He may have had another thought that he wanted you to include with your paper.
Maybe.
That was it, Tammy. You were supposed to rewrite the entire thing a week ahead of time.
Yes, God didn't like that.
This is not what I asked you to put on paper.
He didn't like that paper at all.
Oh, thanks.
Start over.
He gave you a B minus.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's too hilarious. I totally lost track of where we were. We were having so much fun. Oh. Random side note that reminded me of, you know, it's weird being youth minister. I'm like constantly trying to find connections between like secular things and how it pans out in our real life or our spiritual lives. And I was just thinking of one of those instances, like you were talking about with the thumb drive and the cord being in your bag and you're yeah. yelling at customer service.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It reminds me of the video that keeps coming across my Instagram feed. Yes, I said Instagram. I'm old. of the lady who's on the phone with the pizza place because she's super furious that the pizza came with no toppings and she's just literally chewing everybody out. She's mad at her husband and he finally gets so ticked off. He just walks over and he slams the pizza box closed. He turns it right side up and opens the top. And she realizes she opened the box upside down.
Oh,
oh
my gosh. Funny. Yeah.
We do that so often spiritually. Yeah. I'm guilty of it big time. You know, and it's,
it exposes our worry.
Yeah, we're so blinded to what's actually happening by our own, you know, pride and our own, like, of course I wouldn't have opened the pizza box upside down. I'm not that stupid.
I know.
You know how many times I say things like that?
Of course I'd look through that bag for that.
Of course.
Cord.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It wasn't in there. And you don't even want to admit the wrong when you see it. Like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Now I have to go to confession.
I usually have to, because I used to work customer service, so I usually fess up when I do something really stupid. I'll be like, no, you were right. I apologize. I hope you have a good day.
Exactly. And yeah, I thought about calling them back and going through the whole thing and seeing if I could get the same girl.
Mm.
But there are people like somewhere in other countries or whatever. You know,
sure.
We're going to get the same person.
Right.
So I just prayed for her.
That's good. That's good. She probably appreciated that more than a call back from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably you're right.
In an effort to prevent those moments in those instances, what are some ways that you try to remind yourself throughout your week and your routine to trust in God as you're going through your day? And that his grace is sufficient for the moment.
I think Denise was right. You need to pray. It's mm-hmm. about prayer.
And realize God is God and you are not.
Yeah.
Things are going to happen. You are human, but God loves you. And just simply invoke him in your life. Just even a simple, be with me, Jesus.
Yeah. I think in the big picture, God is love and everything
yeah.
is rigged right. in our favor.
Right. Yeah.
It's not going to happen right away. That's going to happen.
That leads me into the what I was listening. Just for the rest of the week, I was like, thank you, Lord. Whatever happened,
right.
that was not right. What I thought was not right. Thank you, God. Well, there was one little slip I had. My husband didn't like what I made for supper. It kind of ticked me off. Anyway, but instead I should have said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is good for my humility. But for the most part, I've been trying to say, thank you, God, for that challenge, whatever you're doing in it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I have to say, Tammy, that somebody cut me off, and you came to my mind, and I said, thank you, Jesus. And I was in the car with my husband, and he just kind of looked at me, and I was just, thank you, Jesus. So I kind That's of invoked cute. That. That was a Tammy thing.
Yeah.
So the next time Christian tells you that he doesn't like what you made, just say, you know what, I'll eat this for lunch. Where are you taking me for dinner?
I don't know. Yeah. He actually liked it. He just was coming home, and then instead of just saying hi, he was like going straight over to the thing I made and starting to doctor it, you know, and I'm like, you know, and that's just good for me because, you know, I have to learn that we're going to retire soon and we're going to have to share the kitchen. God's preparing me
yep.
to let go of the attachment, mm-hmm. you know? And then you go, like, thank you, Lord.
Yes, but he might want not, in retirement, he might not want you to get rid of that attachment. He might be asking for something that he doesn't really understand he's getting if he's going to share the yeah. kitchen, you know?
He's a sweetheart.
Does he like to cook?
Oh, yeah, he loves okay. it. I think I'm going to lose the kitchen altogether.
Oh, well, that's
which,
not bad.
Yeah, what is the problem with that?
Nothing.
You know, like, nothing. Yeah, you know how much time you'll gain?
I know.
You can go for a walk like, every single day right around dinner time.
And then you can doctor his food at the end.
Yeah.
He'll get a little taste of his medicine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he'll say, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. No, he's a great cook. He's a great cook.
Oh, that's good.
This always, my constant reminder to myself is always that God's vision for my life is much bigger than mine. Yeah. And that if I just lean into it and trust it, it will pan out. So maybe that's the hint for you, Tammy. It's
yeah.
like God's vision for life is that you have a chef in the kitchen all the time.
Yeah.
That's tough. That would be tough. Like,
okay, kick your feet that. You're going to very quickly learn to love not being in the kitchen all the time.
I don't know. I was just thinking about how in all of what you were saying, while you're thinking about this is, today's reading, God is creating in us a new heart. One that Isaiah says is no longer going to look back and remember any of those things, but one that looks forward to God and trusts in God. He's doing something. He's creating something new in us that doesn't rely on self as much, doesn't concern itself with X, Y, Z is perfect. That I have enough gas in the moment or the $250 when I want to see it. But that I can trust God in no matter what situation that God, like you said, loves me. And I am loved. I am loved.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And to just get that false thing that says that I'm not taken care of off of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I always look for some scripture for it, and I'm not like Tammy. I have to search in my Bible with the keywords and print it out. But Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you are anxious and worrying about something, that one always comes to mind. You know, am I giving all my worries to Jesus? Is he carrying my yoke, or will I not let go?
Right.
You know,
right.
I got to have my hand on it. Got to have my hand on it because, you know, that is one of the readings when Matthew talks, because Matthew was really good about not worrying about trusting in God and about faith. That's a good book to read when you're feeling troublesome.
You're right, yeah. Perfect verse. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's actually, we pulled that verse for one of the key scriptures for another episode with another group. It's a good one. I like it. Yeah. It just makes me think of all of the challenges that we face in our week that, that there's never an end to, you know. For us, it's housework, right? Because there's so many of us in the home. Like, there's always laundry. There's always dishes. There's always dirt on the floor. I could sweep 3 times a day, and you would think I hadn't swept in a week, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's never an end to it, and it becomes a point of contention in our house. You know, everyone's, well, my wife in particular is always stressed about it. You know, it's reasonable. She's, mm-hmm. you know, likes a clean home, right. And so she's constantly like has this task list of things that she's chasing, and there's never an end to it. I'm going to tell a story that's probably going to embarrass her. She's probably going to be mad at me. But a couple weeks ago, she was a little frantic in this loop, you know, and I recognized that there was not going to be an end to it, and that it wasn't going to get any better for her. So I was like, I'm going to go clean the bathroom. And I scrubbed the bathroom top to bottom, cleaned out the tub, filled it. And then I walked into her and I was like, you're done. And pulled her in the bathroom. I'm like, she's like, I'm in cleaning mode. I'm not taking a bath right now. And I was like, yes, you are. You're having an adult level timeout. You need to take a breather. Yeah. And I literally like pushed her in the bathroom and closed the door. And I kept all the kids on the other end of the house.
Oh, that's sweet.
Because at a certain point, we have to just realize in life that we can push ourselves to this level of anxiety that is just unfair, right? Because there is no resolution to it. There is no solution. And so at a certain point, we have to be able to stop and just say, these things that are stressing me out, they're going to exist, and I need to allow them to exist and still be the person that God is calling me to be. I need to take on his yoke, not mine, you know, and right. I need to focus on what's really important here. And I think in that moment, you know, it was my wife's well-being and mental health. Yes. So.
Yeah. My wonderful Grammy would say, you know, there's a difference between a dirty house and a cluttered house. Mm-hmm. And are you giving your kids the love and attention?
Yeah.
You know, so it's okay to have a cluttered house as long as there's a lot of love in there. And soon enough, you'll be an empty nester and your house will be immaculate. But you are blessed with six
That's one of
children.
My biggest anxieties in life. I'll wake up and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so bored. My house is clean. We love plants in our home. And to your point, we tried to maintain these plants, and we didn't give them the love and attention because it was drawn elsewhere. And so we have a lot of empty pots in our house that just sit there with soil. And then we were at Hobby Lobby one day and we found the sign that you're supposed to stick in your houseplants that says love grows here. And my wife and I looked at each other and goes, this is perfect. And we simultaneously knew what was going to happen. And we got a Sharpie and we wrote, but not plants, and stuck it in the empty plant. It's like, love grows here, but not plants. And it's still sitting in a pot with a half dead plant to this day. Funny. So it's hilarious.
And everybody has that in their house.
Oh,
everybody has one of those plants. That's perfect.
There's a time and a place for everything under the sun, right? Ecclesiastes, right? Yep. So it's just not time for plants.
It's not at all. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you, ladies, for taking the time to come down here and be part of the conversation, sharing your hearts and your journeys with everybody. We sincerely appreciate it. And thank you all for tuning in, and we will definitely catch you in the next one.